Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and oh, we've just got so many wonderful things to share with you today. I have a guest, Margie Worrell. We're going to be talking about how to find your courage, how to unleash your full potential and live the life you really want. Margie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. It's great to be here.
Now, Margie is a coach. She does a lot of speaking before groups and obviously is an author. She likes, as I do, to empower people to live a more courageous and rewarding life. She's been involved with publications that have been put out by Jack Canfield, Richard Carlson, and John Gray. Now, she's originally from Australia, and she is currently living in the United States with her husband and her four children. Margie, courage is a word that not often comes up in conversation. Finding courage, usually we associate with heroes or heroines that we read about in the past. Why were you compelled to put this book together? What do you think is missing in our world today that made you want to focus on courage?
Sure. And, you know, in the introduction to my book, I actually wrote that so often we assume that we don't have the courage that we see in others. We see people heading off to the battlefield. We see people who are struggling with battling an illness or the loss of a child, and we say, they are so courageous, oh, I don't think I could do that. But the fact is, when we find ourselves in those situations, we find ourselves with far more courage than we had thought we had. And so I was compelled to write a book because I see so many people living lives that are dominated by fear and self-doubt, and they aren't living with the kind of courage that's required in order to live a really rewarding life.
And don't you find it doesn't make any difference what their age is?
Oh, age is completely irrelevant. Whether somebody is 16 or 96, it doesn't make any difference. It really is, and you know, let me define courage here. Courage is not the absence of fear or self-doubt. Courage is action in its presence. You know, Winston Churchill once said, courage is the first of all virtues because it's the only one that guarantees all the others. And so often in life, we let our fear of rejection, our fear of messing up, our fear of being criticized or humiliated in front of our peers, of failing outright, or at the deepest core, I think, our fear of not having what it takes, of not being good enough. We allow those fears to keep us stuck and settling in relationships we don't enjoy, in jobs that aren't going anywhere, and generally living life on the sidelines.
You have a couple of quotes right at the first part of your book that I want to share with my audience. One is, we fail far more from timidity than we do from over-daring. And then you have one by Viktor E. Frankl. It says, in a word, each man is questioned by life, and he can only answer to life by answering for his own life. To life, he can only respond by being responsible. And those words are very powerful words. I know that this man had phenomenal experiences in a concentration camp and developed a level of wisdom from his experiences that resound and echo through so many people's lives today because of what he left behind in his own legacy. One of the big words, it's the R word, that I think is so important, and it really has sort of disappeared on some levels in life, and that is the word of responsibility, personal responsibility, PR, personal responsibility. It's really something that we have to owe up to, and yet it is something that too frequently is not encouraged by media, by various individuals of various positionings. And in today's environment, we hear it talked about on so many levels. Let's address that, because I think it's pertinent.
Well, Donna, you know, having read my book, you would know that the first chapter is the courage to take responsibility. And I think while most of the listeners probably generally get the concept of taking responsibility, I really try to take it to the next level again. And that is that until you really own everything that's working, but also, more importantly, that's not working in your life, whether it's getting a 7 out of 10, but it's not getting a 9 or 10 out of 10. It's a marriage that's okay. It's conflict in a relationship. It's a sense of well-being that's, oh, it's all right. Unless you really take ownership that you are the creator of your life, your experience of life, and that while you can't always choose your circumstances, you can always choose your response to them. And that word responsibility, if you break it down, it's response able. And, you know, yes, Viktor Frankl was in a concentration camp. He lost his wife. He lost his sisters. He lost his parents. He lost so many people. And he realized, having, you know, on the brink of life and death there, that it's unless we really take responsibility for how we choose to respond to the to what life throws at us, we won't be able to succeed. Indeed, we won't even be able to survive in his situation. And right now, there is a lot of fear-mongering going on. There is a lot of, we've been giving a lot of excuses about why we should be complaining about all those things in our life that aren't good. You know, we've lost our job, our mortgage, you know, our house isn't worth what it was. There's so many things right now in the current economic environment that people are finding as excuses for why their life isn't as good and why they're not as successful as they should be and why their business isn't going so well. And I think that, you know, once again, we can't always choose the circumstances we find ourselves in, but we can always choose the attitude that we bring. And I think ultimately it's those people who choose to say, you know what, I'm not going to be a victim of circumstances, whether it's a lousy boss or a lousy husband, or it's a the current, you know, the global economic crisis. I'm not going to allow that to determine my experience of life.
I agree. I think that's very important. Now, you had an interesting story about yourself that you shared in your book, and that is that you had a challenge with bulimia.
Yes.
When you were younger. I know that some of our listeners have young people in their families. I've known, you know, young people. I've known older adults. Doesn't happen with men. Men seem to have more common sense relative to eating. But women get stuck in this trap so frequently. Tell us how you dealt with that and what that story is all about.
Yeah, you know, I think I really developed bulimia in my early teens, and it went through me right into my early 20s. So I had a long struggle with that, and it was not a pleasant experience. Looking back, I see that so much of who I am today is because of the challenges that I had to face and the learning that I had to go through in order to really move beyond that eating disorder and through to a point where there's just not any issue around that anymore. But, you know, taking responsibility as far as that was, as my eating disorder went, was really saying, I like to blame my parents, and I grew up on a dairy farm in rural Australia, one of seven kids. We weren't particularly well off. I always blamed it that there wasn't enough fresh fruit and vegetables, and that's why I was fat, and my parents, and because I was one of seven kids. And for me, it was really taking responsibility and saying, okay, these circumstances, my environment, may have contributed to things in some way, but I have to take ultimate responsibility for the food that goes in my mouth, for who I am, for how I look after myself or don't look after myself. And that was also acknowledging that I needed professional help, because I was very much, you know what, I'm just going to fix this on my own. And after years and years of many failed attempts, saying, you know what, I really need to get some help, and I can't do this. And that for me was very humbling. But a great learning. And, you know, I think that anyone, whether it's an eating disorder or any element of life where they're like just struggling and going around and around in circles and thinking, oh, is this ever going to end? You know, asking yourself, what is it about me and the way I'm seeing myself and the world and my circumstances that perpetuates this cycle? And taking that level of responsibility that you are absolutely the creator of that circumstance puts you in a really much more powerful position to then doing something about it.
You have a way of saying, too, in your book, that we create stories. That mm-hmm. we have a story we like to tell. And so often the victimization role is a story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just complementary to what you have just expressed. And we have to challenge those stories we buy into. I think of someone that I was discussing something with just recently. And their story is that they are old. And their story is that this is, you know, the way that life is. However, on the other hand, I met someone else who is in the same age bracket, and this was in their 70s. The person was in their 70s. Someone else is close to that. And they feel like they're in their 30s. So what you have got is that image within the self. You don't even have to get into the economics. If you were to have both of them in the same absolute economic situation, the story would be the same. The one person would feel they are old. The other person would not.
Oh, exactly. And that's just it. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world through our own eyes and our own lens. And I know myself, I have four young children that are aged between, actually my youngest just turned 6 and my oldest is 11. And, you know, even as a parent, you meet people who say, oh, you know, 4 children, that's a ridiculous amount, or, oh, kids, they're so exhausting, you know, they take over your life. I mean, so many people will have these negative limiting stories about what you can and can't do when you have children, or, you know, age is a great one. I remember being told years ago, oh, once you turn 40, that's it. You know, it's all downhill from there, and, you know, as far as your beauty goes, it's the heydays are behind you. And I remember thinking, I'll be damned if that's how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is the attitude that we bring. And I think one of the most powerful things we can do as human beings is to constantly question and challenge the way we're seeing ourselves and life and what's possible for us. And, you know, there are people I know that are 55 and they're old.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other people I know that, just like you're saying, that are 65 and they're so young and they've got such energy and excitement and they're doing so many great things. And, you know, I have parents who are in their 70s and they fly over to visit me in the States every year. And yet I meet other people in America who've got parents that are in their 60s who won't fly 2 hours because they say it's too far and they're too old.
That's right.
And so it really is attitude, attitude, attitude. And I think stepping back and asking yourself, how else could I see this situation? How is it about the way I'm looking at even of what's possible for me that's limiting what's possible for me? And as a mum with 4 kids, I've written this book. You know, I've had to do that a lot myself because otherwise I'd have said, oh, I've got 4 kids, I can't possibly do anything else. And I know better than that, I guess, to go, you know what, that is just an excuse. I just have to figure it out and there's challenges. But really when you set your mind to something, everything's possible.
That is very true. Now, you've got to share with my audience about the tall poppy and your small poppy committee, because I love this. I thought that was so cool.
Well, in Australia, there is a phenomena called the tall poppy syndrome, and it may sound like a medical condition prevalent among, I guess, cocaine addicts or something, but it's actually a cultural condition. And I think it was really born from our convict roots, where all these people were shipped out on boats and they were going to create a new egalitarian society where no man was born better than anyone else. A little bit similar to, I guess, the founding of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And what really it evolved to over the years was anyone who really stood out and aspired to be better than anybody else would be cut down like a tall poppy. And so I know, you know, in my own growing up in rural Australia, you know, to say, oh, I want to be the Prime Minister of Australia, or I even want to be a doctor, was, oh, who are you? You would get a lot of ridicule for that. And that's something actually I don't find in the US, and I think it's wonderful. People are encouraged to aspire to the biggest things. And so then I went traveling around the world for a few years in my 20s, and I realized that whilst the tall poppy syndrome may be uniquely Australian, everywhere around the world, in every culture, in every country, in every race, all people have what I've dubbed the small poppy committee, which is that little committee of voices in the back of our head that really wants us to play safe and to avoid the pain or the suffering of being humiliated in front of our friends, of not having what it takes, of failing, of being rejected. And so all of us have this small poppy committee inside our head that can, if we give it power, really profoundly limit what we do in our lives and who we become.
I think that's very true. And there's also the actual real-life small poppy committees in the world.
Oh, absolutely. Plenty of them.
Yes, just be delighted to rip your dream apart. And that is something, too, that when you have a dream, it may not be something that becomes a reality in the way that you originally expected. It can change its form and dimension and expression and actually become even bigger than what you expect. And you address that about having something out there, almost like a dangling carrot, if you will, but it's more than that. It's something you feel, you hear, you smell,
yeah,
you sense, it's in you, and you just know that that dream is yours. And sometimes it's a brand new car, sometimes it has to do with career, sometimes
yeah,
it has to do with humanitarian work. You just never know where it's going to go or how it's going to lead you. All you know is that it's inside of you and it has to come out some way.
Exactly. You know, Michelangelo once said, the greater danger is not that our dreams are too lofty and we fail to achieve them. It's that they are too small and we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're all born into this world with, obviously, in different circumstances. We have different experiences. We have different gifts and talents and aspirations. Not everyone wants to sail a yacht around the world. Not everyone wants to run a big business. But we really do ourselves a huge disservice, and those we care about a big disservice, when we fail to set our sights high and work toward goals that really inspire us,
mm-hmm,
and ultimately settle for a lot less than what we really want. And, you know, if there's one thing I would love people to get from just listening to me tonight, it would be to sit in the questions of, what is it that I really want? Who is it that I really want to be in the world? Not just for myself, but for those around me, those that I care about, for my kids, for the people who I love. And, you know, a woman called Lily Tomlin once said, I always wanted to be somebody. I should have been more specific. And whatever it is that really excites you, it always scares you as well, because there's always a gap between where you are now and where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't scary to take on big, lofty goals and to shoot for the stars, everyone would be doing it. The fact is, people aren't doing it, and a lot of people settle for mediocrity because it is scary and it does take courage. And that is stepping forward in the presence of the fear and in the presence of all those little voices of self-doubt, that little small poppy committee that says, who are you to do that? Oh, you'll probably fail. All your friends will think you're an idiot. You're not going to be good enough. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be the laughing stock. And I think it's being prepared to step forward anyway and
mm-hmm.
say, I'm going to dare to try.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And that can be done in so many ways. You know, not everybody's going to be on the front of People magazine, and not everybody wants to be. But there are so many ways to express yourself in life. There are so many areas of need, if you will put it in that context. But it's how you can make what you do count in its own special way. Now, you have a quote that I really, really like that I think complements what we're just discussing, and it's by Patanjali. And it's when you are inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, all your thoughts break their bonds, your mind transcends limitations, your consciousness expands in every direction, and you find yourself in a new, great, and wonderful world. Dominant forces, faculties, and talents become alive, and you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be. I think that that quote is so powerful. It has so much in it that when you can read it as the me and look at it and say, that's talking to me, that's telling me that I can make it okay to recognize the greatness within myself, you're a winner. I mean, you're not going to lose. You can't lose.
You really can't. And that's that saying you mentioned earlier, we fail far more from timidity than we do from over-daring. But in that quote, Patanjali said, you know, dormant forces come alive. And to me, you know, when I talk about what's a goal or a dream that inspires you, the word inspire comes from the Latin, to breathe life into. And when we're working towards something, however lofty or not lofty it is, that inspires us, and it might be raising kids, it might be it could be anything. When we're working towards something that inspires us, it brings us a new sense of being alive. And we find in ourselves resourcefulness and energy and strength and determination and tenacity that we didn't even know we had. And I think it first takes really that question of, what is it I'd love to be doing with my life, with my time and my talents?
You have a woman, Peg, that was in one of your seminars, a seminar that you attended in Dallas.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
I love this woman.
Yeah, I loved her, too.
And she was 83 at the time. And your description of her, how she had deep, deep wrinkles in her face, and her shoulders were rounded. She had to use a walker to move around. She had a sweet smile. But the seminar you were in, it had long days. It was very arduous. And everybody was tired. And at one point, she stood up. And you have to share with us what she said. I love this woman.
I wish I could do it with the right accent, because she had this real Texas. Can you do a Texas, real Texas?
I can do that Texas accent. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I sure can. Peggy raised her frail arm into the air, then slowly stood her aging body to rest on her walker, looked around the room at all of us, and said in her slow West Texan drawl, "In all my years, I learned just a couple of things worth mattering. The one y'all here should remember is this. Y'all be who y'all is, because y'all can't be who y'all isn't." And that is the truth.
It is so true. Be who you are, because there are so many people that we encounter on a daily basis that you get a strong sense they're trying so hard to prove themselves and impress upon you something about themselves, whether it's how smart they are or how wealthy they are or how funny they are or how kind and thoughtful they are, and there's a strong need for them to prove something.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who I find the most attractive aren't those who are trying the hardest to be beautiful, but are those who are simply being themselves. And people who are really comfortable with who they are, they're authentic, they're genuine. You don't sense there's a gap between what they're saying and what they're thinking in their head. They're just 100% who they are. And I think that when it takes a certain level of, I think, our own evolution as a human being to get
really
to
does.
That level and saying, you know, I don't have to prove that I'm really funny or smart or pretty or successful or accomplished. This is just who I am, and I'm okay with it. And if you're okay with it, great. And if you're not, that's okay too.
It really does take a level of maturation. I think we have to grow through certain things, because there are so many models around us, and for us to be wise enough to choose the models we want to emulate and then allow ourselves to expand into what we really are, does take a little bit of time. You talk about the four stages of mastery: unconscious incompetence, conscious incompetence, mm-hmm. conscious competence, and then unconscious competence.
Mm. Mm.
Let's cover that quickly. I know we're getting
okay. Well, and I think that one's best done with an analogy. And just to give a bit of context to that, I put those four stages of learning into the book because so often when people embark on taking on something new, they have to learn new skills. And often they get very intimidated at the outset because they don't like not being good at something. So why is it that so many adults who never learn to swim as children don't ever learn as an adult? Because they don't want to have to go through all those stages that you see a 4 and 5 year old going through. And so we need to give ourselves permission not to be competent at things in the beginning. If you're taking on a new skill, if you're trying to learn something new, it's okay not to be great at it first up. And I think if you think about a driver, a 2 year old child is unconsciously incompetent. They don't even know that they can't drive a car. And then as they get older and they're 10 or 11, they're very conscious that they're incompetent. They know that they can't drive a car. And then we give them some driving lessons and they're 16 and they become competent, but they have to think about every single thing they do. They've got to put the keys in and then they've got to put their foot on the clutch and then they've got to look in the mirror and they've got to think about every single thing in order to be competent. And then after a while, they get to the point that they don't even have to think about it. When you think about getting in your car and driving somewhere, you wouldn't even remember the steps that you just got in the car and you ended up at point B.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's those four stages. And I think that's relevant for us in stepping out with courage because it means if we're aware of those stages, we can give ourselves permission not to be masterful at the very beginning. When I went out and started speaking, I wasn't unconsciously competent. I had to like work really hard to try and deliver a great program. But then after I'd done it 10, 20, 30, 50 times, I just naturally became more competent. And so with anything, the same four stages apply to everything.
I agree. Well, Margie, we are out of time and your book is just loaded with so much good material. And if you want to know more about the tall poppy and the small poppy committee and all kinds of other good things, you need to get her book, Find Your Courage. This is a lady from Down Under, and she has become very much involved in the way of life here in the United States. But more than that, she has found her own courage and has put a lot of it in this book. Now, Margie, you do have a website, and that website is Margie Worrell. MargieWarrell.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those three W's go in front of that. So if you want a book that's going to challenge you, filled with questions, you can ask yourself. But more than that, give you some mental nutrition that you can digest a little bit at a time if you want. And just be comfortable with the fact we're all in that evolutionary patterning of growth. And when you stop growing, you're dead. Nobody, you're not going to be around here. There's just nothing for you to do anymore in that respect. But as long as you're on this planet, hey, having courage, you've all got it. It's something that you can utilize to make your life even better than you ever dreamed. Margie Worrell, Find Your Courage. Margie, thank you again for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Donna. Take care.
Will do. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We've got more good things to share.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTab Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Well, telephone lines are now open. You're more than welcome to give me a call if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers to call in to: 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Worldwide, 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time listener, we're so delighted you've joined the listening family for the Donna Sebo Show. All you need to do, when you call in, give me your first name or your initial. After that, let me tell you what I see. And then, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Now, the first thing I want to do with this portion of the hour is to thank those of you that came by my booth at the Northwest Women's Show. We had an absolutely awesome, awesome three-day event. It was just incredible. Tens of thousands of women had come out. There were so many of you that I had the chance to interact with. It was just a joy. And I will be announcing tomorrow the winners of the people that were part of the drawings, and if they're listening to the show, they're going to hear it, but I'll also be contacting them by telephone as well as email, because one of our sponsors, Pete Smith with OrthoTips, we have got three lucky winners of those fabulous, fabulous walking shoes that enable you to trim up and tone up. But I also wanted to say to the staff there, you did a wonderful job. Thank you very much for making me and all of my associates that were at the event feel so comfortable. It was just absolutely terrific. Also, I want to tell those of you in the Pacific Northwest, my Mind Vision class is going to be coming up on April 25th. That's the last Saturday of the month, April 25th. It's called Mind Vision. It's going to be about powering up your inner giant. You're going to talk about how you can bring out that genius that you have within yourself, deal with change. Lord knows we're going through a lot of it right now. We are going to help you expand your intuition, and this is an all-day interactive seminar. It's $95. It includes a catered lunch, but when you call in to the reservation number, 253-383-3151, call into that number, say that you've heard it on the Donna Sebo Show, or if you had attended the women's show, mention that, and you'll get a $10 discount. This is absolutely wonderful. I did this type of a class last year, and I had the students say, we'd like to have more regarding intuitive development, and so this is something we've expanded the day's activities, and we're going to be doing that this year. So if you'd like to be a part, then you call in for reservations, 253-383-3151, and we will be sure to put you down, and we'll just have an absolutely terrific time. Mind Vision, powering up your inner giant. Donna Siebel here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Also, 888-815-9756. And the latter number is a number for anyone in the world. We've got a great lineup of guests coming up this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Sergio Lamberon. And I know we've got a caller on the line. I'm going to go right to you, but let me just finish this. We're going to be talking about dolphins tomorrow. Now, Sergio is going to be calling in from Lima, Peru. So this is going to be just really a very, very special experience, and I'm so glad that we were able to get this gentleman on the show for tomorrow. So don't miss it. I know you're going to enjoy him. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from? Hi, hon. Can you hear me?
My name is Molly, and I live in Peoria, Arizona.
Peoria, Arizona. Well, Molly, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Okay,
I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, that's fabulous. Thank you. Now, Molly, I need to make you aware of something. We have a little bit of a time delay. So,
yeah, I could hear it.
Good. I just wanted to be sure you were aware of that, because sometimes you may not be able to hear me, or I may not be able to hear you. So just know that that's
yeah,
the reason
it's a, why. It's a little low. I'm really straining my ears right now.
Okay, well, I can hear you just fine. I can hear you very
okay.
well. So let me tell you what I'm getting in mind, Molly. Molly, there is a great deal of stress and anxiousness that you have been going through off and on for the last 3 years. You think you've finally resolved certain situations and conditions, and you have. You've done a very good job with it. You have really grown through these challenges, but all of a sudden it seems like somebody slapped you in the face with something, and you go, oh, no, I didn't know this loose end had not been anchored down. I thought it had all been taken care of. Don't panic. Interact with whoever is associated with this discord and say, let's resolve this now. Don't procrastinate on it. Don't put any blame on anyone or anything. Somehow or another, it slipped out of sync. You did think you had it all put together. It is not. You need to do what it takes to make everything anchor the way it's supposed to. This year, especially after June the 6th, is going to be a year where you're going to feel liberated. So between now and June the 6th, there may be a few, I'll just use the word screw-ups, and it doesn't mean that you're down to the count again. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just means you take care of them. Now, the next thing that is coming into my mind is you need to pay attention to the foods that you are eating. And the reason I say this is because you are becoming aware that your body is not using food as efficiently as it did before. And certain foods are not digesting well for you. So you need to be a bit of a private detective. You need to say, why is it this isn't digesting? Is it prepared differently? Are certain fats being used that my body doesn't like? Am I having too much of it? Is my body saying a little bit will be fine? Too much, you're not going to feel good about it? You need to ask yourself these questions. Your body will let you know what works. And you are so sensitive to medication. Any kind of medication you take, you must be very, very aware of the amount. Very, very aware of the amount. And if your doctor can give you some samples, you know, if there's something that comes up, I don't see you taking a lot of medication, but it looks to me overall, you would have a response to medication that's really strange. And a doctor might think it would be in your mind. It isn't. It's just the way your body processes things. So you need to be your own detective. You need to be alert and aware. And the money's going to be fine there. Don't worry about that. Do you have a question?
I was a little worried because I haven't worked, and I might be starting a new job, but I'm not making what I was used to making, and now I feel like I've gone backwards.
Well, you haven't. You need to get out of that mode of thinking. You haven't gone backwards. What kind of work did you do, and what are you going into?
Well, actually, I used to work like just a receptionist at a doctor's office, and now I'm going to be doing medical records, and that's why I feel like I went stepward backwards. So.
No, you're not going backwards. I'll tell you why you're not going backwards.
Okay.
As a receptionist, you were interacting with people. You didn't really have to do a whole bunch of stuff with detail. You had to do some, but not a whole bunch. When you went into the medical record environment, though you're not getting paid as much, you're going to gain a whole new level of experience. Now, I want you to consider something. You are a people person. What you need to do is to look at some courses that you can take that will enable you to acquire administration skills so that you then can go up into a positioning that would allow you to interact with others.
Okay.
You also are going to want to start a small business of your own. So that's going to be in about a year or two. Understand that what you are learning at this time is going to teach you disciplines that will serve you very well in the upcoming business.
I kind of felt that for some reason. I just kind of felt I was there for some reason.
You are.
I was kind of guided for that job.
You are. And I don't think there's that much of a gap in the pay scale. If you're really honest about it, there's not that huge a gap. There is a gap. But you're going to be able to transcend that gap within 6 months if you want to do it.
Oh, okay. You know, I kind of feel that everything is going to turn out all right.
Well, it is. It's going to be just fine. But if you get stuck in thinking that you've gone backwards, then you're going to get all this emotional garbage that you don't need. Look at it differently.
Right.
Look at it differently and understand this isn't going to be the job for 30, 40 years of your life, but it's up to you to make the choices.
Okay. Okay. I will think about that. It really rings very true for me, so I'll do the best I can.
Well, I know you will, Molly. But do it with a sense of excitement and enthusiasm. You're learning something new. You're coming into a whole new level of learning. Molly, how'd you learn about the show?
Oh, actually, I like this station. They've got a lot of good, good shows.
Good.
Since I've been off of work, I mean, I've been learning actually a lot of metaphysical things that's been helping me.
Good.
And what I was interested in was getting into hypnosis. Now, when you're saying doing something, you know, my own business, I want to take hypnosis and do that as a side and basically build it up. I'm really interested in that. So
wonderful.
Maybe that's kind of like kind of hit a chord there.
Good. I'm glad. Well, I appreciate your call, Molly, and tell your friends about BBS.
I will. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You're very, very welcome. Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. Hey, you can give me a call and chat, just like Molly did, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And that last number that I gave you is the number that can be called in from anywhere in the world. This is Donna Siebel. We've got a lot of good things to share with you today. Hey, give me a buzz so we can chat. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Siebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Let me give out the number to call in to again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Before I go to our caller today, I wanted to share, I've got this adorable picture in front of me. I wish I could share it with you, but I can't. It's this delightful little kitten looking out of a window where rain is just pummeling down. And Rose Rothstein has written a poem. She says, a bright red rain boots by the door, drying on the mat. The world is wet outside, it's true, but I don't mind that. Inside at my window perch, my cat curled next to me, I sit and think and dream over a steaming cup of tea. Ah, that's a woman that just has the fondness for things as I do. I just love that. I wanted to share that with you. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. It's Nancy from Salmon, Idaho. I've called you before.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
How is it in Salmon?
Oh, it's okay. A lot of transition here. I need a pep talk.
Well, you've called the right person, Nancy. First of all, Nancy, I want you to continue your writing. I'm seeing you sitting at a computer fairly consistently, and sometimes you get so restless, you feel like you're ready to crawl out of your skin. And I think your computer is, in many ways, a best buddy because it doesn't judge you, and you're sitting there just typing away. I believe you're going to have material that you are going to want to put on a blog of some kind, but you also are going to want to put together a publication, and you're going to be well-received. I'm seeing people really liking what you put out. And it's not a great big thick novel, but it's just like little things that you're going to want to publish. I really like what I'm looking at here, and I think it is very much valuable, and in the sense that it's coming from your heart, and this blog environment allows you to reach a lot of people, and you're going to be surprised how many people will be interested in what you have to say. But you've got to be aware that this is a hard-working year. 2009 is a year that's going to demand a lot of you, because it is necessary for you to break out of your own box that you had created about 5 years ago. And you created this box, if you will, for yourself, and it's a bigger box than you had before, because you knew that it was a time for change about 5 years ago. So here you are, you're tired as a box, you're restless, and like I said, you're ready to crawl out of your skin, and all you need to do is think things through. What I'd like for you to do is get out of the box entirely, and when I say that, you just need to smash your walls down. You need to make it okay that the world's not going to fall apart on you, and you're not going to go down the tubes if you take some risks. But you do need to, you know, look at some things, and if you want to take baby steps, take baby steps. It's okay. Don't be afraid. And you're going to find a very good sense of purpose and value. But I do think you are going to be doing some serious introspection during the next 2 to 3 months. And you need to do this because the only way you're going to be able to step out of the established box is by having honest examination within yourself. It's not so much what's going on externally. It's what's going on internally. And the internal, then, is going to, as you make your adjustments, you're going to be able to see what you need to do. And part of that may incur a decision of a relocation. And at this moment, I don't know if it would be with job or with residence. But it is something that you need to look at. And if you plan it out, you're going to be able to do whatever you need to do, Nancy. It's not, you're not going to have to stay where you are. It is just thinking things through and planning accordingly. But you really need to ask yourself, what is at the core of your discomfort? When you can answer that with integrity, then you're going to have the resolution. No games, no gimmicks. It's really that straightforward and that simple. What's on your mind, dear? What did you want to ask me?
Well, in addition to what you said, it's I think I do know what's at the core of my being dissatisfied. It's that I have allowed myself to be surrounded with people who don't really believe in me. And that I'm getting new friendships now, new people that really do believe in me. But it's a real hard jump to make. I've had a 20-year relationship, and it's, you know, it feels real painful right now because it seems that my husband is really ready to just let me go. So if I do go, I was just wondering if it was permanent.
I would say what you need to address, and I know how stressful these situations can be, but I think if you can have the integrity with yourself and you know that this is not going to be the best for you to stay in, but if the changes you need to make, you know these changes must be made. You're making them because they're the right changes, not because of your husband, not because of relatives, not because of kids, not because of anything, but the fact that you're doing this for yourself and that you're being honest with yourself. Again, it's scary, but you've outgrown the box that you've been in.
Yeah.
And it's time for you to let go of the little girl. So rather than being preoccupied, and I know it's a tough one because it goes against everything that you've been taught, rather than being preoccupied with the fact that your husband may just say, well, this is it, I want out of the marriage, and you need to be able to look at it and say, that's okay. If that's what he wants, that's what he wants. But he's going to need to be able to make that statement. When somebody goes through changes like you're going through, to those that have become accustomed to the role that you have played for so long, that can be very scary. It can be very threatening. Because it may show to them that there's something else than what they have adopted that is possible. And they may not be able to go with the changes that you go through. But you don't worry about that. This is being done for you. It sounds selfish, but as the guest that I had on the air earlier, it takes courage to be true to yourself. And many times what you'll find is those very people that seem to be so much against you at this time actually are the stimulus for you to really be true to yourself. And the day may come where you're going to cross paths with them and they're going to say, wow, it's amazing, you proved me wrong. But you have to walk the walk, hon. Nobody can do it for you.
I know. Oh, thanks, Donna.
I hope that helps you, because
yeah.
you need to do what you need to do that is right for you.
Yeah.
But understand, you can't change others. You're changing yourself. That's what's going on.
Yeah. I have a small son, so that's kind of my dilemma. But I'll get through it, and I
yes,
appreciate you.
Take it one day at a time, hum. I know we're out of time.
Thank you
so much, Nancy, for calling
you.
In.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Thiebaud. Hey, we're out of time. But remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Nobody else really has the right of dominion over you. Only you can give the permission for anybody to have that. Hey, we've got a great guest. Like dolphins? Well, we're going to be talking about them tomorrow. See you right here on bbsradio.com. This is Donna Thiebaud. Talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Thiebaud Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Thiebaud Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.